Joined by Blair Warner, the executive director of NYPERG, New York Public Interest Research Group. This week, particularly mid-March, the two houses of the state legislature released their responses to the governor's budget proposals. And now we begin apparently a two-week dash to finish up the budget. We are going to talk to Blair about a number of key issues, but there are certain things in the budget that NYPERG doesn't particularly focus on. There is going to be a dispute over taxes. The legislature wants to raise taxes on the wealthy, whereas the governor wants some taxes on the MTA. One of my all-time issues, universal school meals, had a big win, $280 million for school meals. And on housing, that's, you know, one of the governor's big priorities is to build affordable housing, but the legislature apparently does not agree with how they deal with it. So let's turn to what, you know, Blair, in terms of the issues that you guys cover, like environmental issues, healthcare, higher education, and democracy. What were some of the most notable things about the budget?
Well, thanks for having me. And you're right. It's showtime when it comes to the budget. My guess is that it'll be late because it always is, but not very late. We'll see how it all goes. I mean, in the area of climate, there'll be some big issues that'll be debated. The governor, for example, advanced a proposal to require electrification of certain buildings over a certain period of time. And that means that the power that the building would have to be powered by electricity, not fossil fuel. The governor had a proposal to do that with certain dates, basically by 2026 for small buildings and 2029 for larger buildings. Both houses of the legislature advanced their own plans. The dates are really, there are differences, but, you know, there seems to be conceptual agreement that at some point in the relatively near future, all new building construction in New York State will be powered by electricity instead of fossil fuels. So then,
Jump in there quickly. So we build about 50,000 or less new buildings a year, and there's 5 million existing buildings. The governor surprisingly actually proposed a timeline to phase out gas in existing buildings, but apparently the legislature is not going along with that one.
That's right. The governor had, which of course makes perfect sense, to say that in the same way that New York has a law in the books that says that starting in the year 2035, fossil fuel powered cars won't be allowed to be sold, new cars. And so the governor's proposal was in this budget that, well, you know, if we're going to phase out the use of fossil fuels, we should say by a date certain. That New York will not allow the sale of appliances that rely on gas power, most notably gas stoves. But she backed off that a little bit, and both houses of the legislature backed off the proposal in toto. So I don't know what's going to happen on that, but I think that, you know, as a practical matter, that's where the world is going to end up anyway. And so, you know, the attacks on the governor's proposal, particularly around the issue of gas stoves, is so, you know, incredibly bogus. It's hard to sort of deal with sometimes, but the legislature reacted to it and didn't include that. But
well, we only have 10 minutes. One of the things that the Senate did put in was something that NYPERG has been pushing, which is the Climate Superfund Act. I think raises about $3 billion a year over a period of time. So that was a little bit surprising. But how is funding coming for climate in this budget?
Well, I mean, the governor's proposal to supposedly the cap and invest proposal is really the only real revenue that's driving new revenue source that'll be used for climate change. And God knows if that'll happen. The assembly and the Senate, you know, the Senate wants to do it, but in a different way. And so I'm not sure that one. I don't know how that will make the end. But you're right that the state needs enormous sums to deal with the damage caused by a rapidly warming planet. And the Senate proposal, which is not embraced by the governor nor the assembly, so we'll see how that plays out, is to tag the oil companies, the biggest oil companies, the most profitable oil companies on the planet, to pick up some of the tab for the cost. And $3 billion a year for the next 25 years is the proposal that the Senate advanced. We're hoping that that goes in. I mean, these costs are going to have to be paid by somebody. And right now, it's the average taxpayer is going to pay for it. And so we think the oil company should pick up the tab because they're responsible and they have the money.
Now, we could spend the whole time on climate, and a lot of people very focused on what's going on with New York. The idea about getting NYPA, New York Power Authority, build public renewables, but a lot of other issues. And some people may forget that NYPA is actually a student organization. So it seemed like the legislature is at least backing you guys in terms of opposition to the SUNY tuition increase that the governor proposed. How is higher education in general doing?
Well, I mean, generally speaking, higher education, particularly the smaller four-year colleges and the community colleges, are in terrible financial shape. And the governor's proposal really didn't do anything to reverse that trend. All she did, in fact, was propose the tuition could go up. And I mean, that's the policy path that has led New York to the situation it's in now. So both houses of the legislature reject the governor's proposal to increase tuition. They restore the governor's proposed cuts to so-called opportunity programs. Those are programs to help qualified students that go to college, to provide them additional assistance to deal with, you know, college needs. They both houses increase in different ways, but increase the base aid that the state's providing to both public colleges and community colleges. And so the legislature is sort of stepping up to the plate. But what really is needed is something really big in terms of comprehensive response, because the state's public colleges are in bad shape financially, except for the university centers. And some of the smaller private colleges are in bad shape. Casanova College, which has been around for 200 years, is closing its doors at the end of the spring semester. And so these are problems. Then higher education is not only important in terms of educating young people and giving them experience in civic life. They're also little mini economic development engines to churn out jobs and have a ripple effect on the local economies where they're located. And when you let them go down the drain, you're hurting yourself in many ways beyond just the fact that college students won't have the choices that they have right now.
Now, let's talk a little bit about democracy rights. And one of the things that Nyberg and others had worked for many years was system of partial public campaign finance, and actually kicked in early this year. Seemed like the assembly, now you're getting close to actually doing public campaign financing, was balking a bit, and particularly since they going to have to rerun with new lines because of the court cases. They were getting a little bit nervous that power of incumbency might not be enough. But apparently there's at least some movement in the budget to actually put money on the table.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, the governor proposed $25 million toward the public financing system. As you're quite right, New York currently has now a public financing system, a voluntary system where candidates can join. They get matched public dollars for small private donations that the candidate gets.
This is state races, not local races.
That's right. It's all state legislature and statewide. And so nobody has to join. Nobody has to participate. But, you know, it's a very lucrative program. It's complicated. It's more complicated than the New York City system. So we'll see how it plays out. But the governor put $25 million on the table. The Senate matched it. And so I think that there is a, you know, reasonably good chance that there will be public financing at the end of the day, because somewhere there has to be money, public match for the small donations, and the state has to do that. Now, the assembly, you're right, is getting colder feet as it gets closer to showtime. The argument about the lines, of course, is an argument you could have every 10 years. And so do you think that they would have figured it out by now? The law passed in 2019, went into effect the day after the election in November 22. And so there's no reason why all of a sudden it should become as a shock to lawmakers that this system's going into place.
So we only have about 45 seconds yet. I know one of the big fights was Medicaid and course shifting that the governor wanted to the counties was struck down. Last 30 seconds, what are the other big budget issues people should be aware of?
Well, one of the ones was the governor proposes to increase the state cigarette tax and yet provided no money to help smokers to quit, which just seems ridiculous. The Senate added $30 million to the program to do that. Both houses, though, rejected the governor's proposal to get rid of flavored tobacco in an Orwellian sort of argument. Apparently, an industry that figures out how to target blacks to get addicted to the deadly product, it's a problem when you try to get them to stop. But so we'll see how that plays out, too, in terms of flavored tobacco products, as well as the cigarette tax.
Nyberg, nyberg.org. We'll have a little chart up, I believe, in a couple of days. Blair Horner, Executive Director, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.